This is the second part of the message, Guidelines on the Choice of a Marriage Partner and Christian Courtship, preached by Brother Gile Akani. For further inquiry or counsel, contact the Discipleship Department, Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone 044-470-824. May God bless you and work out His purpose in your lives as you listen, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, we want to thank you for the privilege of our study together, especially as we continue to look at the guidelines for the choice of a marriage partner and the issues that are surrounding it. We want to pray that you will bring us light and bring us your illumination. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters who need to make a choice in life, that they will know how to be led by your Spirit and they will not make a wrong choice. And that, Lord, whatsoever has been a hindrance to their lives, as we study your word together, you will uproot such hindrances for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. We have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to thank God that we can continue this series of studies, especially on the guidelines for making a choice of a life partner. In our last study, I spent time looking at Genesis chapter 2, and we were laying some general foundation or general principles that ought to be at the background of your heart ever before you begin to think about making a choice. I did say that when we turn back to Genesis chapter 2, and I think we should just begin from there immediately. Let's go to Genesis 2. We've studied verse 18, verse 19, and 20. Now we are about looking at verse 21 and verse 22 and verse 23. Now there are a few issues that we need to trash there that will lead us onto practical guidelines as we study this passage today. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like us to go quickly to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21, 22, and 23. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had made, had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." May God bless his word to our hearts, even as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to draw your attention to was when God had begun to bring the issue of the need for marriage into your heart, when the Lord God has said it is no more good for you to be alone, and I think I spent a lot of time in our last study dealing with that aspect. Now, I cannot overemphasize it, because nothing will be right if it is not in God's time for you. Nothing will be appropriate if you do it ahead of God's time. If you do a right thing at a wrong time, it becomes a wrong thing. And if you do a wrong thing at a right time, it will still be a wrong thing. Now, so what I will say is this. You need to know what is God's divine timing for your life. For there is time for everything under heaven. And that's the first issue that must guide your heart. Whether as a young sister or as a young brother. It is not just that because everybody is marrying around you, you need to get into an engagement or a relationship. You need to know whether this is God's time for that or not. I know so many persons that Because God's time for their marriage may be about 10 or 15 years time, and they started their courtship 15 years earlier, they've had to change, they've had to go through all kind of disappointment from different brothers or different sisters. Some have broken engagement 5-6 times, to the extent now that they have lost confidence in knowing the will of God, because they have always thought it was the will of God, when sincerely speaking, it was not God's time to look around at the time they started. Now, in verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Now, I want to draw your attention just first physically, what does he mean? Now, we found that for God to operate upon Adam, just like when you go to a doctor and they wanted to perform a surgical process upon you, the first thing after you have agreed for the doctor to do it, they put you into what they call anesthesia. It depends on the level of work they want to do on your body. Now, I found that God, and why did the doctor do that? First, I discovered that they need liberty. Liberty without interference from you, without interference from the patient. They want actually the patient to be patient, so that while they are working on his situation. But you know that when a patient is not put under anesthesia, a patient is the most impatient person that you could ever meet anywhere. Now, so I realize that in order for God to find the liberty of preparing and of leading you and of taking you to the right person, there is a need first. And this need is for you to agree to rest in the Lord, for you to sleep, for you to commit the matter to God's hand without being anxious, without running up and down, without looking left and right. And God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Now, I want you to look at what Psalm 37 says. Now, Psalm 37, if you can quickly run to Psalm 37, let's study that. Psalm 37 says, in verse 1, in verse 3, in verse 4, verse 5, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Now, this is the first step God needs in order to make a choice for you. You need to rest in the Lord. You need to commit that situation to the Lord and relax in his ability to help you. Now, if you cannot trust the Lord to make a choice for you or to lead you aright, if every moment you keep interrupting and you keep standing up to go and do something for yourself, God will be compelled to watch you until you come to the end of your own steam. God cannot continue to struggle with a man in order to walk. And so the first precondition for making a right choice in life, you don't make a choice in anxiety. You don't say yes to a man or say yes to a sister out of anxiety, out of duress. Now, you see, marriage is not something you rush into and you rush out of it. It's not like that. Marriage is not something you go into presumptuously hoping it will work out. It's not like that. Now, when you come into a relationship with a young man, what you are doing is that you are joining your destiny with that man until death will do you part. Now, to rush into an a lifetime decision, it's not something that is very, very reasonable. So we notice here that even for God to walk upon Adam, we notice that he put him to sleep and he slept. And here we found the Bible say, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for the Lord to act. Actually, that's what that scripture says. Wait for him to act. Wait for him to do what he wants to do. My dear sister, don't let your age continue to push you as if I don't do something now, something will be wrong. Go and rest. I'd like to say to you, go and sleep over the matter. When I use the word sleep here, I'm not saying be careless, but I'm simply saying cast your care upon the Lord Jesus. Cast your care upon him who knows your beginning and knows your end, and he will never fail you. I want you to look at one more scripture before I leave that issue, because these are general principles that if you miss it out now, many things will go wrong. For example, if you put yourself under pressure that this week I must get to know who I will marry this week, and you insist on even fasting for that 1 week, it is not impossible that out of the imagination of your heart and out of the several idols that have entered your heart, the enemy will speak to you. The enemy must reveal someone to you because you are bent on seeing something. Now, our God is our Father. We don't twist his arms in order for him to do something for us. We trust in his wisdom. We trust in his loving kindness. We trust in his grace. And we trust in his ability. And let me tell you, we also trust in his immutability. The fact that God cannot change, he will not die, he will not travel, he will not go anywhere. He gives us an assurance that he cannot forget you. Now, the devil may come whispering to you that if you don't do something now, God will forget you. Heaven helps only those who help themselves. Those are languages from the world. They don't come from the word of God. Now, if you will rest, and I will be dealing with the implication of your resting your case in the hand of God very soon. But I first want you to know that marriage cannot be entered upon as a matter of anxiety and fretting. And it is not a competition. You are not competing with anybody. You are not competing with any brother. You are not competing with any sister. You are simply seeking to be placed on the path that God has earmarked for your life. And that is really, really important. Now, he said, rest in the Lord. You will notice there are a few words that are coming out here that I want you to note. Number one, fret not yourself. A man that is sleeping cannot fret. Even if you take it physically, anytime a man is sleeping, you will notice that for that moment that he sleeps, he has forgotten his troubles. A man that is thinking and worrying cannot sleep. He may close his eyes, he may pretend to sleep, but he can never sleep. Sleep only comes at the point of equilibrium when all your thoughts are released. That's why if somebody is holding a piece of biro or a pen or anything while he's not sleeping, you will see him holding it tightly. But the moment he dozes off, the moment he slips away, the first thing you notice that his hands is released from what he's holding. Now, will you please note this, that the first thing to do in order to sleep, for God to act on your behalf, is that you should stop fretting. Stop being afraid. Stop being anxious. Stop worrying your head as if I don't get this girl today, it will be lost. That's not true. If that sister is meant for you, God will bring her to your life. If that brother is the one that God is preparing you for, God will preserve him and bring him. Will you please take note of that, sister? The fact that you are in the final year in the university, or you are about to finish your youth service, or you have been waiting for a while, is not a reason to begin to fret. Don't fret into marriage. Otherwise, you will be frightened out of it. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you fret into a relationship, you will be frightened out of it. But if you went into a relationship because God, after bringing his word of assurance, he carried you there in peace, his peace will ever remain with you all through that relationship. And don't forget that relationship I'm talking about is not just 2 years. It's not just 3 years. I'm talking of many years. Some of us have been in this relationship for several decades. And God is faithful to make sure that what he begins in your life in a small way, he's able to perfect it as you grow on. So the first thing is that you must never fret. Secondly, you must trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. These are part of sleeping. These are the issues that Genesis chapter 2 verse 21 is talking about. Trust in the Lord. Now, what does he mean to trust in the Lord? It is to release all of your life, all of your weight on the faithfulness of God. You need to know that God cannot cajole you and that God cannot stand up to do you any evil. God cannot tempt you with evil. God cannot stand to destroy your destiny. He knows and his plan is thinking good for you. What does the Bible say in Jeremiah 29, for example, in verse 11? He said, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans for good. They are plans for prosperity and not for disaster. Brother, could you believe that God can never plan disaster for your life? God could not ever plan disaster for you as a sister. If you are truly his own child, why would God plan a disaster for you? The Bible says, he who did not spare his only begotten son, that while we are yet sinners, he gave him up for us. What else will he not, along with him, freely give to us to enjoy? So my dear brother, my dear sister, I want to begin to say to you, apart from do not fret, the next thing is that you must trust in the Lord. Relax. Tell your friend, say, relax. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And do good. This is very important. Do good. Be very, very occupied with what God has told you to do. Be very occupied in the purpose of God. Be very occupied in the plan and will of God for your life. You don't lie down and say, I'm lying down until I get a wife. I'm lying down until I get a husband. No. You do what is good. What the Lord has told you to do. That's one. Secondly, when he says do good, that means live in righteousness. Live in holiness. Don't keep tampering your life about. If you are trusting the Lord to choose a wife for you, then what are you doing tampering with another sister? What are you doing trying to have premarital sex with a girl? That is not good. And when you do that kind of thing, you obstruct what good things God is planning for your life. There are several men today that have got married out of a mistake that they went and slept with a girl that God never planned for their lives, and they are now having trouble today. Trust in the Lord and do good. I want to inform you that caressing a girl that God has not led you into, even if God has led you to a sister, even caressing her during your courtship is not correct. Talk less of you going to caress a girl that God has never pointed you to and you have not come in agreement in marriage. That is not good. You are not doing good by living like that. Living in fornication is not a good way. Destroying your emotions with a boy is not correct. Now, do good. And look at the Bible. He said, so shall thou dwell in the land. And verily, verily, thou shalt be fed. What is the next word? In order for you to be able to sleep, delight yourself also in the Lord. Now, you see, when you have trusted the Lord, the next thing is for you to enjoy the Lord. Don't begrudge Jesus. Some of you, you are Christians as if somebody is forcing you to be one. Some of you, you are working with the Lord as if, you know, you are just in a legalistic situation. As if, well, if I don't do this now, God will chop my head. No, I want you to know, first and foremost, that God is love. And in order for you to enjoy your rest
in the Lord's hand. You must delight yourself in the Lord. You see, the word delight means find your pleasure in the Lord. Be excited about belonging to Jesus. Be fully satisfied that Jesus is your friend and that he is your savior. He is your redeemer. He is your nearer kinsman. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Set your affection on the Lord, not first of all on a man. Don't set your affection on a girl first and foremost. Set your affection on the Lord. It is out of your affection for Jesus that you find affection for people. It is out of your delight in the Lord Jesus that you find delight in the men and women that God brings your way. Now this moment, as we continue this study, said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. What you are crying for, what you are desiring, what you are saying, Lord, I want you to do for me, he will do it. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he also shall do what? Give you the desires of your heart. Now, what is the next thing? Still, all this I'm dealing with is the issue of sleeping. You can see that when I talk about sleep today, I'm not talking about closing your eyes and being negligent and say, well, they said I should just go and sleep. One day, they will just package a ghetto, give me. That's not what we have said. Actually, those who behave like that, they are so careless that they are not trusting God. They are only giving themselves to despair. That's not what I talked to you about today. Now, what is the next thing? Apart from delighting yourself, you know, I've dealt with the fact that you should not fret. Number two, you should trust in the Lord. Number three, you should delight yourself. Be satisfied. Set your affection on the Lord Jesus. Then number four, commit your way. Commit your way unto the Lord. Now, what do we mean by committing? Handover. Handover. You see, if you commit a matter to a lawyer, for example, in court, and when you get to the court and they called you and say, yes, Mr. James Onehi, can you stand up and explain this? Now, do you know what you simply say? I have committed this case to my lawyer. And immediately your lawyer stands up and said, sir, I am holding brief for my client. Now, supposing you got onto the courtroom, and instead of you saying, I've committed this to my lawyer, and allow the learned man to stand up and speak for you, you took up. You said, lawyer, please keep quiet first. I want to tell them what I know. Will you not lose that case? Will you not run into trouble? Now, that's the issue. When the Bible says, commit your way to the Lord, these are very basic before I start talking about, so how do I know whether this is the right person or not? First, commit your way to the Lord and trust also in him. To commit your way means release it. Hand it over. Don't cling to it anymore. Now, but I want you to note one more thing before I leave that. Commit your way. Now, you see, a lot of you listening to me here, you already established a way for yourself. Every time the idea of making a choice comes to your head, I see some of you saying, my husband must not be too tall like a giant. He must come from this part of the country. Or he must have the first or second degree or third degree. Or he must ride a car. And you must not be riding a beetle. Now, these are your ways. Now, a man that is set in his ways like this cannot know the will of God. Now, when the Bible says rest, sleep, it means commit your way. Hand over your standards, your preferences. Hand it over to the Lord. Knowing that God will not make something bad for your life. He knows something better than you know it. So it says, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, some of you are sitting here and listening to these instructions, but you have your way. Deep in your mind, if a brother were to come down from Sokoto State, let's say he's a young man from Sokoto State, and he says the Lord is speaking to him about you, you say, God forbid. You will shout and say, how can? How can? Does it mean God cannot find a husband for me in Lagos and he's going to bring one useless guy from Sokoto State over my dead body? Did you see that you have not slept over that matter? You've not committed your way to the Lord. There are some of you that it is only because that sister that God has spoken to you about, it doesn't look as pretty as the sister Rose that you are thinking about. That was why you have been refusing the will of God. You've not committed your way. For you to know the will of God, you've got to sleep. So when we begin to say, and God put him to sleep and he slept, it meant that God removed from his hand the things he had been holding, the standards he had been holding, the issues he had been holding. God take it out of his hand and he slept. Now, young man, young sister, will you release all your standards? Some of you superficially say, no, I have no standard. I am not holding anything. You better check your heart. You better pray about this. You better look intently. Sincerely speaking, don't you really think you have some standards? Don't you think that you have some preferences? Can I give you a litmus test? Now, suddenly you discover that your heart just naturally goes to certain people. Find out why. And why is it that you easily resent other sisters or other brothers? Find out why. Could it not be the tribe they come from? Could it not be their location? Could it not be their stature? Could it not be the way they look? Now, when any of these things still lay hold on your heart, it means that you are yet to sleep over the case. Now, so it says, commit your way. Why do you want to insist on your way? The Bible says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. But what is it? The end of it is perdition, is destruction. It is not in any man to direct his path. That's what the book of Proverbs says. And I want to put it across to you this moment, that way that you are going, that way that you are holding tenaciously to, that standard that you are bothering about, and it is there in your heart. You sleep, you know, with other girls, and those are your issues. Those are the things you discussed. Now, if a brother should have a physical deformity, something tells you inside, say, no, how can I be going with this one? When we say, who's your life partner? You say, no, he is not even presentable. You have not yet slept. My brother, my sister, what did I say? You have not yet slept. And until you sleep, God cannot go to work. Until you sleep, God cannot act on your behalf. Until you surrender and say, Lord, choose for me. I believe in your wisdom and I believe in your ability. I believe in what you can do for me. Lord, choose for me. And he will choose for you. He will guide you. He will direct you in this regard. Now, trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Now, what is the number five thing in sleeping? Actually, is rest. Say, rest in the Lord. Now, what does it mean to rest? To rest means to relax, to release, to relax, to release, and to place your weight on the Lord Jesus. When he say rest, that means no more worry, no more anxiety, no more alternatives, no more permutations, no more calculations. Rest. Rest with a deep assurance that God is at work. Now, number six step, apart from rest, he says, and wait. Are you following this instruction? And do what? Wait. It is part of sleep that we are reading in verse 21 of chapter 2 of Genesis. Wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him. When we use the word wait, it means stand still and do nothing until God has worked. Wait patiently for him. Don't keep trying. Don't keep going here and there with alternatives. Don't keep saying, well, while I'm praying, let me keep trying this. No. Wait patiently for him. Patiently. Patiently. Wait patiently for him. Living Translation. Could you try that?
Be still,
yes,
in the presence of the Lord.
Oh, do you notice that now? Be still in the presence of the Lord. Be still. Are you understanding that now? Be still. When we use the word wait, it means don't do anything. Be still. Don't keep running up and down. Be still. So many of you, you say you are waiting on the Lord, but you keep writing letters around. Is that how to be still? You say you are waiting on the Lord, you keep cooking pepper soup for that brother. You say you are waiting on the Lord, every time he comes back, you meet with him, you are kissing him and rubbing around him, will he not fall in love for you? You are not still. You are not waiting. Be still in the presence of the Lord. Yes?
And wait patiently for him to act.
Good. Did you see that? Wait patiently for the Lord to act. Wait for God to act. You see, you don't act until God has acted. Wait patiently for God to act. No matter how long it appears to you, God never comes late. If God has not finished what he's doing, it's because it's not yet time. Everything God does, he does it in its time. Wait for the Lord to act. Yes?
Don't worry about evil people who prosper.
Don't worry. You see, those are the issues. Many of you say, but look at me. I'm a Christian and no brother has come to speak to me. But look at this unbeliever girl. About five boys are running around him. They even bought her the hair tie the other day. And they fill her wardrobe with a new skirt and blouses. And they bought a lot of provisions for her. Look, if I only had somebody whom I can be even talking with and be walking with, it will have been all right. No, don't worry. Because you see evil men, careless girls, seeming to prosper, their end is not too far away. Yes, go ahead, sister.
Or fret about their wicked schemes.
Yes. Don't fret about their schemes. And you are going to walk in the midst, even those that call themselves believers, even some of the Christians of nowadays, you can see their schemes. You can see how girls will sit back in their rooms and scheming how to get a brother. Is their schemes. You know it's a scheme. Don't fret about their schemes. Don't keep running around about their schemes. Don't try to woo a girl for yourself. Don't scheme a brother out in order to get in. Don't go about to blackmail another sister to a brother so that he can think about you. You see, some girls, when they have noted a brother they want to catch, they now say they want to go to him for counseling. And then when they get there, they begin to talk about the intimate issues of their lives. They begin to discuss about the sentimental issues of their inner man. And you as a girl, why should you go to a young man that you know is not married and you are discussing all the emotional issues of your life? Are you not playing a scheme? And if you fall into that scheme, you will not allow God to have acted on your behalf. He said, Don't fret yourself. Can you repeat that verse? Because I want my friends to catch it. Thank you.
Be still in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
And wait patiently for him to act.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes.
All right. Thank you. Be still. This is Amplified Bible now. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him and patiently stay yourself upon him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Don't fret yourself. Now, that's the issue of sleeping. Can I ask you, before you begin to look left and right for a man or for a sister, have you come to a position of rest? This study, the first thing we need to deal with is, can you release all your standards? Can you release all that you are holding as your own way? Can you release it, commit it back to the Lord? Can you say, now, oh Lord, deliver me from myself. Deliver me from my wishes. Deliver me from my own way of thinking. Choose your way for me. I know your way is better for me. I want your way to be my way. Even as I pass through this sinful world, I want your way to be my way. Now, I'm hoping that as you wait on this and discuss and check within your heart, what are the issues that you are holding on to? What are the issues that are your idols in the heart? What are the things you are saying, me, I cannot agree if it's not like this, if it didn't come like this? Do you know that some sisters have refused the right choice of God for their lives, either because the brother has a flat nose, so they are looking for somebody with a rounded nose? Yes, you may get a man with a rounded nose, but the day when it will put hook on your own nose and drag you into trouble, then you will cry. Nobody will answer you. There are some of you that it was money. It was mundane things like even cars that you are worried about. Some of you, it is the physical appearance that you are so attracted to. You forgot that the man you are marrying, his physical appearance is not permanent. He could have an accident tomorrow and that one is disfigured. Now, if you are going to marry, let God choose for you. He knows the right direction. And listen to me. Does it appear to you as if God will give you something not beautiful? No. Do you think God will just go and look for something ugly and package for you and say, well, since you are a Christian, you are going to have something that is useless? It's not so. But what God looks for you is something that lasts, something that does not fade, don't something that will not break away and spoil. May God help you as you agree to sleep. Can I ask you, would you like to sleep over this case? Would you like Jesus to take over from you now? Would you like him to act in his own time while you wait patiently on him, while you stay yourself on him, while you relax yourself, while you delight yourself and set your affection on him, while you go on serving the Lord, you go on doing his way, you go on getting involved in the purposes of God for your life? Now, these are general conditions for God to work. Now, return with me to Genesis chapter 2 again. Are you with me in Genesis chapter 2? Now, we will be coming back to the specific issues which we are going into now. And I pray that God will grant you understanding. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now, somehow, I want to say to you that there are processes that God must pass you through in making a choice for you. And young men, because you think you are already ready, you don't understand that there are processes that God must go through before choosing a life partner for you can become a reality. Now, the first thing I saw here is that whereas God already saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone, yet Adam, as he is, will not be a correct man for marriage. God needed to do something on his life. God needed to take something out of his life that is in preparing him to receive a woman. And can you see that here? And he took one of his ribs. Now, when you are looking at that, you may think it's a very simple thing. What it means that God wounded him. God took away one of his bones, and God had to suture it back with the flesh. If he was not sleeping, it would be very difficult. Now, friend, what am I trying to point out here? Now, it is not just because the burden of marriage has come to your heart that makes you immediately ready for marriage. There are things that God takes away from your life in order to position you for relationship. And if he has not done that, you making a choice will not work. In fact, many times, when God begins to bring the right person to your life, but because of that area of your life that you have not allowed God to deal with, it is that area of your life that will scatter the relationship. A lot of courtship has scattered. Not because of anything, but because the brother is not ready. God has not dealt with him. Sometimes a sister is entering into courtship with someone, but there are issues that God needed to have finished in her life before she could be ready to relate with someone else. But because of haste, because of anxiety and fretting, people rush in when the initial work has not been done. Now, if your marriage, if your courtship did not scatter, your marriage will scatter eventually. So, again, I notice, and I want you to note this as an issue in making a choice. God working on your life. God working on your character. God creating a room for you to enter into relationship. Now, some of it, God must take away from you, even as a man. Some of things that make you feel complete, some of the things that make you feel, you know, total in yourself, some of the things that make you quite arrogant, that you don't feel the need for anything apart from, you know, the physiological excitement. And yet, can I say to you, if your reason of wanting to get married is because of sexual pressure that is coming on your body, now you are not yet ready for a genuine marriage. Now, because all of that, they are external to what God needs to do in your life. And if you start on that note, I can assure you it will soon scatter. It will soon finish. And maybe that's one reason why so many young people have picked a sister, and ever before they go to the altar, it was sex every time. And maybe you are listening to me here, and the young man that has proposed to you and you are planning to say yes to, the first time he visited you, it was your breast he was fiddling with. Will you not know that that young man, maybe it's not you he's looking for. He's only looking for your breast, and he's just looking for a sex machine. Are you ready to be a sex machine to a young man? When his excitement for you is finished, don't you think you will find another sex machine somewhere? Now, so I do discover here that what God does is that he prepares a man before he brings a woman to his life. And all of these are part of preparation for him, for making a choice. God took away from him one of his ribs. God took away from him one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh thereof. Now, young man, have you gone through a divine oppression? Have you gone through a divine dealing, a divine brokenness that is getting you ready to make a room to receive a sister into your life? First and foremost, if you are still under the aprons of your mother, for example, if the umbilical cord between you and your parents is yet to be cut, you are not yet a man, you don't have space, you don't have capacity even to receiving a sister into your life. And God wants to deal with that first. Now, what I'm saying may appear as about why is this brother bothering us with this. I'm not the one bothering you. If God is going to work in your life, he will work on you first. And if you don't surrender and say, Lord, prepare me for a lasting marriage, prepare me for a lasting relationship, things may not go well eventually. Yes, so we notice here that, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now, but look at verse 22 also. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. Now, what is the implication of this? The implication of this, first for you in making a choice, is that, you see, what God has taken away from your life, what has become the need of your life, is what God has made abundant in the person that he's bringing to your life. Now, when I'm coming back to now looking at practical details, I'd like you to know that many, many times, what you are looking for in a girl is the one that looks exactly like you. But I want to tell you that the principle of divine choice is not the one that looks exactly like you. It's the one actually that carries what you don't have. It's not the one that what you are doing is what she does. No. The issue is that she is to be brought into your life to help you, to complement you, to complete you, to bring you into a place of fullness that you will otherwise not have reached if you were left on your own alone. Now, but you see, in our own human thinking of choice, you are looking for someone that suits you, someone that when you say yes, you say yes. When you say, this is how it is, you say, yes, that's how it is. And you think that that is the reason why you can match. No. The first issue is that what is lacking in your life, God wants it to be present in her life. What is deficient in your life, God wants it to be sufficient in her life. God is not interested in bringing your duplicate. It is not your duplicate that God was looking for to make for you, but someone that can supplement and complement and complete you. That is the plan of God. Do you understand this now? So while we are beginning to wait on God, now, don't be surprised if God brings someone whose outlook looks directly opposite to your own outlook. It's not always going to be so, but if it is, don't be surprised. It may mean that God is saying this one complements this one, and combine them together, everything will be complete. Hallelujah. Now, but listen, I'm going to skip some few things I should say on this now, because I will go into that eventually when we are dealing with the issue of relationship in courtship after you have known the right will of God for your life. Now, but let me just round up on that note. It says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. Now, so we are noting here that it was God that worked on the man. It was God that removed the rib from the man. It was also God that worked on the woman. Now, the implication of this is that God, are you hearing me? God must work on both sides. Brother, if God is working on your heart concerning a sister, if God is creating a space in your heart for a sister, you must be sure to wait for God to also finish what he is doing in the life of that sister. Which means it is a double way. Many, many times people say, oh, God has spoken to me to marry you. And the sister is saying, but God has not told me that. You can't be serious. You can't be serious. God has told me already. Because God has told me. No. The fact of the way God has dealt with your life is one side of the story. God must also walk the same walk in the life of the sister before the story can be complete. And so, I'd like you to note that in terms of your making a choice, the will of God dealing on your own heart is authentic. The working of God on her own life is also what? Authentic. And each one must have that experience. The sister must have that encounter with God. Now, sisters, listen to me now. Don't say yes to a man because he just spoke. Don't say yes because he told you his own stories. Why wouldn't you find out if God has spoken to your own life? It is important for God to work on you and for God to work on him. If these two things has not happened, it cannot be correct. If these two convictions have not taken place, no, don't rush into anything. The reason is because you will see the way the word of God comes to me now. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made thee a woman and brought her unto the man. It must be God who brings you into this relationship. Don't let a brother drag you into a relationship. Are you with me? God must bring you into that relationship. God must draw you into it. So we are stopping our main study on this note for today. Now my next approach will now be, supposing God has worked, how shall we know? That will be the next approach. But before I tidy around here, I want you to note this emphasis again. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, the Lord God, on the part of Adam. Then, verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man on the side of the sister, the Lord God. Do you understand what I'm saying now? What I'm saying is that the Lord God must work on you as a brother, and the same Lord God must work on the sister's heart before he brings her into your situation. So sister, it must be the Lord God that brings you into a relationship. It is not money that drags you there. It is not the man's incessant visit that must take you into a relationship. I dare say to you, whereas I will be talking to you about the role of spiritual guides and disciples and your pastors, what role they should play in you making a choice. Let me say to you, it is not your pastor, it is not your discipler, it is not any good brother around, it is not one great man of God that must drag you into a marriage. It must be the Lord. God may use all these men to prophesy to you, to counsel you, to direct you, to instruct you, but at the end of it all, they are not the one that takes you into that relationship. It must be the Lord. Do you know why I emphasize this? When you get married, the first day of your wedding, after reception, you will realize that you are alone. Immediately after reception, everybody will drive away, and you'll be left stark naked with the man you have married. And if anything went wrong there, there's nobody you can call in. And if you call any external voice at that time, you only want to create and bring an intruder into your relationship. But there is one person who is always there. It's the Lord. He said, I am the witness between you and the wife of your youth. He will always be there because he is the originator of the relationship himself. So the person that must get into your relationship must be the Lord God. Listen, brother, don't be persuaded to marry a sister if the Lord has not led you. Don't be pressurized to say yes to a brother if the Lord has not spoken to you. Even if the whole community says you must marry this man, listen and hear if God is speaking with the voice of the community. It is not every time that the majority voice is correct. Actually, most of the time, they are not right. The voice of the Lord, the leading of God in your life, is the most crucial thing. But we know how we check the will of God, which will be the next issue I will be dealing with as we come back. But for today, I want to ask you, have you committed yourself to the Lord? Have you handed over to him? Have you given him a chance to direct you? Are you resting in his ability? Are you resting in his immutability that he cannot change? Are you resting on the fact of his loving kindness that he cannot do you bad? He cannot give you poison. God cannot lead you to a wrong person. In his own name, he will not do that. If you see anybody that say, well, it was God that led me to have this woman who is a problem in my life, the truth of the matter is that the Lord did not lead him. The truth of the matter is that there are some other issues he did not reveal. He knows what he did. He knew it. But I want to say to you, my dear, as we pray together today, this is the second study that I'm sitting together with you on the issue of making a choice. You will note now that I have not particularly dealt with one man or one brother or one sister yet. The issue is that These are the bedrock for making a right choice. These are the principles that the moment you start working in this, you will walk into your marriage effortlessly. You will walk into the right person for your life without having to hit your head here and there. Many of you, because you have never surrendered to the Lord Jesus, you've never given yourself to Him first as your Lord and Savior, it will be very, very difficult for you ever to even discover His will for you in marriage, because your strong will has never yet been surrendered to God. So at the conclusion, the first thing to check is this: have you surrendered your life to Jesus first for salvation? And if you are not yet saved from the life of sin and from the power of darkness, how will you ever be able to walk into the will of God for your life? Now, this moment, I want you to look at that. Have you rushed into a relationship? Have you started spoiling yourself with a man? Are you already secretly having sex with a young man in the hope that he will marry you? You are not doing good. You are not doing good. You are destroying your destiny. Now, that young man, I remember when I was a copper, we were living in a copper's yard, and there was this copper classmate of mine that said he had a girlfriend. He was an unbeliever, and his girlfriend would visit him, and they would bath together, and they were sleeping together. And I called the girl one day. I said, look, what you are doing, is it right? Supposing your marriage did not consummate, what will you do? Eventually, do you know that they didn't marry each other? Now the girl has been abandoned, and she's struggling. Who was going to have married her? Now, even when someone is saying he loves you more than the whole earth, wait until he becomes committed in the day of marriage before you open yourself to him. Otherwise, you may have spoiled yourself. You may have destroyed your own virginity for a careless boy. And at the end of the day, he leaves you robbed, and he goes like a grasshopper hopping on another plant. I want to ask you this moment as we pray together. Have you decided that it is Jesus that will make a choice for you? And you are saying, Lord, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to relax. I'm going to wait for you, wait patiently for you to act. And the Lord who answers prayer is going to help you as we pray with you. Shall we pray together right now? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you because of the privilege of studying the word of God again. Lord, for all those who have been sitting to listen to this instruction, especially those who are waiting to be guided into the will of God for their lives, I want to ask, Lord Jesus, that you will let this word mix with faith in their hearts, and that none of them who have sat to listen to this message will make a wrong choice. Lord, I'm looking eagerly forward unto their families, a family that glorifies you, a family where Jesus is Lord, a family where your glory bursts forth every day, a family filled with the love of God, where children will find a home where they can grow without inhibition. Please, Lord, do this. For any of them that have already made a mistake and they're saying, now it was not God that led me, it was pressure that was dragging me into this relationship, and they want to obey you, Lord, give them courage. A broken courtship, a broken engagement is better than a broken home. Lord, please help each one of these to take right decision right now. Those that need help, let your spirit walk into their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.